WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
The Student Section. I am your host, Aiden McGuirk, joined by Nick Elliott and Bennett Katz. We got a lot to talk about today. Some interesting things happening in the NFL that are going to directly affect you, the fans of the NFL, especially those of you who like to go watch games in person. Some recent developments between a couple of media partners could really change some of your plans, so be sure to tune in for tonight's show because we're going to kind of talk about how that impacts you. One of the top prospects in the NFL draft had his agent release a statement today regarding who he's talking to and who he's not talking to and why that might be important. And an owner is talking about his coach in the NFL. So we are going to break all of that down for you. And at the end, stick with us because we're going to give you our preview for the upcoming Alabama football season, wins and losses. Which teams do we think might give Alabama some fits, and which teams do we think Alabama will be able to handle with ease? But we're going to start things off talking about Jalen Milroe. I don't know if many of you follow the Alabama football social media accounts, but I encourage you to do so because there was a beautiful pass made the other day by Jalen Milroe to Ja'Cory Brooks on the red zone play. I believe it was Kool-Aid McKinstry in coverage of Brooks, right? So beautiful ball thrown in the corner. Brooks made the adjustments, kind of like a really, you know, really really beautiful throw there by Jalen Milroe.
He threw it only where Brooks could catch it. It was absolutely perfectly placed ball.
Exactly, which is encouraging to see from a guy who projects, at least right now, to be our starting quarterback. We know the running ability is there in spades for Jalen Milroe, one of the fastest players on the team, regardless of position. So very encouraged by that. Still a lot of spring left, and of course, summer and fall camp as well. So we shall see if Jalen Milroe can hold on to that starting position, but doesn't look like he's doing anything to lose it at the moment. All right, big news coming from the NFL over the past week. Thursday Night Football and the NFL are looking to potentially approve flexing games from different points of the week to Thursday night, depending on the quality and caliber of the game. So how does that affect the fan? Well, if you decide you want to buy a plane ticket before the season starts to go see your favorite team across the country on a Sunday, maybe 2 weeks from that game, you'll learn that it's been flexed and that that team and that game will no longer happen on Sunday, but will happen on a Thursday. And you, the fan, won't be reimbursed for any hotel reservations, plane tickets, or any other plans that you have made for that game. So, if this sounds like something that you're not interested in, I suggest you be loud on social media. Tag the NFL, tag Roger Goodell, because it looks like he is one of the biggest supporters of this. This will also allow teams to play multiple games on Thursday night throughout the season. Right now, I believe teams are only allowed to play one Thursday night football game during the season. So, potentially, you could have teams playing multiple Thursday night games, and it's a quick turnaround going from Sunday, then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, your only days off, and then you got to play football again on Thursday. It's a lot for players, so very interesting to see how that would happen. Nick, give me a reaction to this, though. What are you thinking? Do you like the potential proposal to have multiple teams playing multiple Thursday night games, flexing games from Sunday to Thursday?
I like it if it's for like later in the season with games that actually matter, because when you're looking at it, nobody wants to watch a Panthers-Falcons Thursday night football game. It has no meaning at all. I mean, might as well flex it if you want more viewers. I mean, people are still going to watch, but it's like, you want the best games there by themselves. So, I mean, just like with the Monday night football games, hopefully, I mean, this past year, Monday night football games were not very good. I mean, can't help, some of the teams just are bad, but I would think it would be better to flex it towards the later of the season once you get a when you get a grip on how teams are, especially like see if teams are falling out of the playoff picture, or if you got a big divisional game, like say the Chiefs and Chargers, move that to Thursday night instead of like a Bucks versus Falcons game or something they put on Thursday, or I mean just any like teams that are just not anywhere near the playoff picture at all.
Yeah, I agree that this definitely is going to help with the quality of Thursday night games.
It's just all money grab, which can't blame Goodell or the NFL wanting more money.
Certainly not. That's the whole business of the NFL, to make as much money as they can. And it'd probably be a little more interesting throughout the week to be able to tune in and see some higher quality games. I know this past season, Thursday Night Football was kind of hard to watch at times. There were a lot of games that were really bad. I mean, even the commentators would bring up like, hey, I'm sorry that you're having to watch this game at home. It sucks so much. So I don't think that the people over at Amazon with Thursday Night Football were very pleased with the fact that a lot of their games were so terrible. And this is probably coming from them. Hopefully, maybe a way for them to get some better caliber games. So we shall see what happens. This move has to be approved by 29 different teams, and right now I believe there's only been 22 people who have voted for it, with two teams abstaining their vote, those two teams being the Panthers and the Broncos. Panthers abstaining their vote because, well, they're just not great right now, but they may be later on, who knows. And the Broncos, new ownership. The Waltons are brand new to football, brand new to owning a sports franchise. Maybe they decide to abstain just because they're not quite sure how this would impact things moving forward. I have seen it reported where some of the teams that are voting for this flex option are not necessarily fans of what it could do to the sport, but just believe that it will happen regardless, and they don't really want to fight it. So best get on board now and not piss off the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, who does want this to happen very badly.
Now, does this mean that there'll be multiple Thursday night football games?
No, I think they'd just stick with one. They'd move the game, say if it was like later in the season, they would move it toward the Sunday, probably like noon or something.
Yeah, so okay. It will.
Well, that's affecting the other families too that were traveling for the Thursday night football potentially.
Yeah, I mean they give like a week or two heads up or something, but it will suck for the fans, like the traveling fans especially. But I mean, you want better games than that. You don't want.
Yeah, the TV audience is such a large audience at this point, although it is the streaming audience, those who watch on Amazon Prime Video.
And Jeff Bezos definitely has a factor in this because it's his TV rights, so he would probably telling Goodell, well, we want good games. We don't want, two lower-tier NFL teams playing against each other in a meaningless game.
Absolutely. So interesting to see how this will play out. Definitely not the best for fans, especially those traveling fans who decide to make a road trip and go see their favorite team once a year, tailgating in the parking lot all day long and things like that, only to find out a week or two before they are ready to go that it's been flexed to Thursday night. It's a lot harder to find flights out of a city on a Friday morning than it is on a Monday morning, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. I don't know if this will get passed yet or not, but we'll have to be sure to keep up with it and be sure to continue to tune in, because we will update you guys on the progression of this vote and if they end up approving the flexing option or not. All right. Jalen Carter, defensive tackle at the University of Georgia, had his agent release a statement today via social media that Jalen Carter is only going to meet with teams inside the top 10 or teams who have a top 10 draft choice this year. He is refusing to meet with any teams outside of the top 10. Now, for those of you who maybe have not been tuning in, to what's been going on in the world of football since the season ended, you might think this is no big deal. The guy is certainly a top 10 draft choice in terms of talent, probably even a top 5 draft pick. Why is this a big deal? Why are we talking about it on the show? Well, there's been a couple developments that have happened over the past, what is it, month, 2 months maybe, that have really affected Jalen Carter's potential draft stock. One of them being his connection with a fatal car crash that killed an Georgia offensive lineman as well as a Georgia staffer. Obviously a tragedy that our thoughts and prayers are with the families of those who lost their loved ones. Jalen Carter reportedly lied about his whereabouts that night. Turns out he was racing that vehicle before it crashed, evaded the police, fled the crime scene. Not great. So that has definitely affected his draft stock. And then now you look at his pro day, right? He had a very underwhelming to disappointing pro day, out of breath at times, couldn't finish all of his drills, had to take a second between drills because he had put on weight and was unable to complete all of his drills that he had hoped to complete at his pro day. So the disappointing pro day combined with, you know, his involvement with that fatal car crash and racing definitely is impacting his draft stock. So Bennett, I'm going to hit you up first with this. If you were an NFL team inside the top 10, even given all of the off-field issues that Jalen Carter has faced, would you still draft him inside the top 10?
You know, I'm not really sure that I would, but I definitely think that there are some NFL teams that are looking just at his talent alone. He is so dominant on the defensive line, and I definitely think somebody in that top 10 is probably going to take a chance on him and give him a second opportunity. And I don't know, it just really shocks me that he's only meeting with teams in the top 10. That just really shocks me, coming from a Kirby Smart coached player. And I like Kirby Smart a whole lot. He came from Alabama. He played at Georgia, but coaching under Coach Saban, I mean, he pretty much has the same philosophy that he does. And believe it or not, I actually cheer for those guys most of the time when we're not playing them. It sounds probably hypocritical or, you know, not very good from an Alabama fan wearing my crimson color glasses here, but I don't know. Jalen Carter is a really talented prospect, and I do think he will get drafted inside the top 10. I just don't know, given his recent behavior, that I would do it if I was a GM.
All right. Be sure to stick around after the break, because we are going to continue to break down Jalen Carter's potential draft stock falling or rising when we return on the student section.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
What is up and welcome back to the student section. I'm your host, Aiden McGuirt, joined by Nick Elliott and Bennett Katz. All right, we left off talking about Jalen Carter, the defensive tackle from Georgia, only meeting with teams with a top 10 selection for this NFL draft, according to an agent. So, let's see, Bennett, you kind of gave us your opinion on whether or not you would take Jalen Carter in the top 10. Not so sure that you would. So, Nick, let's get your opinion. Given all of the off-field incidences that have happened with Jalen Carter, not so great on his pro day, and obviously his connection to some street racing that ended up killing two people, if you were a team with the top 10 selection, would you draft Jalen Carter?
Yeah, I think I would. He came from a good program. Teams are going to start looking more so into what happened at the pro day with him gaining weight and stuff like that, instead of the tragic situation like the Chargers, because they're looking forward to what he's going to bring as a player. I mean, it's not like you. I don't know. I think he's still got top 10, but you got to really monitor what he's doing and character and, I mean, his weight. I mean, I guess it's tough. You don't want to go into the offseason. This is how he is in the offseason doing all this stuff. Then how can you trust him in the NFL? This is your career. But I think he's still a top 10 talent. The drafted, I mean, there's tons of teams that need defensive players, and he's by far. Him and Will Anderson are by far the two best defensive players in the draft, and if you want, you got to draft that talent in top 10.
Me personally, I think if I was a team, maybe towards the end of the top 10, you know, that 7 to 10 range, I would consider drafting Jalen Carter. But if I had a top 5 draft pick, I think I would avoid it. There are some concerns, obviously, with his connection to the racing. But when you look at the pro day, putting on that weight, not being able to finish drills because of his weight, because of he, you know, being out of breath and things, it gives me sort of an Eddie Lacy pause, if that makes sense. Why are you not putting in the work in the off season that you need to be putting in the work? It gives me pause, considering maybe not the work ethic that you would like to see from a potential top 5 draft pick. So if I were in the top 10, like the bottom half, I might consider it. But if I were a top 5 pick, I would not.
Yeah, I don't see him going in the top 5. Top 5 is going to be all quarterbacks, I think. The Cardinals are probably going to trade because there's I think the Titans are trying to get the third pick, so.
Yeah, I have seen the Titans are interested in the third pick. I think maybe the Raiders decide to trade up to that third pick.
I think
there's
year,
a lot of options.
I think this year defensive players are not going to be as – they'll be valuable, but they're not going to be as valuable as the top 10, top 5.
Definitely not the top five. I think there'll be, you know, a several defenders picked in the top 10, but not in the top 5.
With how many teams are in the market for quarterback, that's probably why they're going in the top 5. Just too many teams need a quarterback, and teams are going to start getting desperate. And Titans are that team because they've already given up on Malik Willis, is what it seems like, if they're trying to already trade up.
Yeah.
Which can't really say I blame them because Malik Willis is quite the project.
Yeah, no, he was not developed very well when they selected him. I was looking to see right now the Panthers, the Texans at 1 and 2, they will take a quarterback.
Yep.
3 is the Cardinals. They have their franchise quarterback. Maybe they keep it and pick up Will Anderson. Maybe they trade down. I guess it depends on the package. 4 is the Colts. They will most certainly take a quarterback. They don't have one right now other than, I guess, Sam Ehlinger. And then 5 is the Seahawks. That's an interesting spot. Maybe they decide if Anthony Richardson's on the board. They've got Geno Smith on a contract that they can get out of after like 2 or 3 years. So maybe they bring in Anthony Richardson, let him sit for a couple of years and develop into the kind of quarterback that he could be.
Yeah, I think the Seahawks are a team that will be drafting Jalen Carter probably because their defensive line was not good against the run at all last year, and they need interior defensive linemen.
Yeah, that could be an option for sure. All right, so coaches meeting and owners meetings have happened within the past couple weeks. And Robert Kraft had some interesting things to say. Robert Kraft, obviously the owner of the New England Patriots, but he had some interesting things to say about Bill Belichick at the owners' meeting. All right, so this is a quote from Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots. Quote, "I think Bill is exceptional at what he does, and I've given him the freedom to make the choices and do the things that need to be done." Later in the quote, "But in the end, this is a business. You either execute and win or you don't. That's where we're at. I still believe in Bill." All right, so that was a quote from Robert Kraft, owner of the Patriots, talking about Bill Belichick. Questionable thing happened last year, right? Bill Belichick loses Josh McDaniels as his offensive coordinator and hires a defensive coordinator to call offensive plays and a special teams coordinator to coach the quarterbacks, neither of which have ever done those things before. So there's kind of this feeling around the NFL that maybe Bill Belichick, for the first time in his since he's been with the Patriots, he's on the hot seat. So, Nick, give me your thoughts on this. How long is the leash for Bill Belichick at New England here?
I think his leash should be as long as he wants it to be. It's until he wants to coach. I mean, the man won you as many Super Bowls. I get you won it with Tom Brady, but, I mean, when you have, what is it, like 8 Super Bowls? 9? 6 Super Bowls? Yeah, I mean, when you have that many Super Bowls, more than one hand can hold, and you deserve to not be on the hot seat. Even though he has been deserve criticism that should be given to him, because I mean, you're coaching professionals, and some of the decisions recently have not been very good. But hopefully, they should be better this year. I mean, they actually have an actual offensive coordinator, so hopefully, things actually run smoother on offense. But I just don't see him firing Bill Belichick for just what he's done to that franchise.
All right, Bennett. Do you think he's got a shorter leash this year than maybe in years past? Or do you think, like Nick, that he's just got however much runway he can please?
I agree with Nick. And the guy's won 6 Super Bowls. He should be able to have as long of a leash as he wants. Now, just like it is at Alabama, Coach Belichick and the Patriots have built a standard of excellence and just such a high expectation each and every season. And so when they've had a couple of rough seasons in a row, by Patriots standards, a Super Bowl or bust, what it used to be when they had Tom Brady, it's been disappointing for their fans and for Robert Kraft and for Bill Belichick, of course. I mean, he's the one that's probably the most upset about it than anybody. He made some questionable decisions, like you were saying, Aiden, with hiring maybe some of his old buddies that maybe should not have been the offensive coordinator. But now they've got one of our old guys, Bill O'Brien, the old Patriots guy as well. I think he's going to do a good job with Mac Jones and his development. And I think they're going to have a much better season. They are in a very difficult division is the issue. And when you look over and you're playing Josh Allen all 2 times a season, you're playing Tua and the Miami Dolphins, who have a perfect record against Bill Belichick. And when can you say that when they had Tom Brady? And now all of a sudden the Jets might get Aaron Rodgers. This is looking to be one of the tougher divisions, if not the toughest division in the NFL. And if the Jets do get Aaron Rodgers, we've talked about that a couple shows now, I mean, are the Patriots going to be the last in their division? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, more so on that, teams around them in their division are much better than they were when the years passed. So it's kind of tough to have such a high – I mean, Patriots fans need to lower their standards. I mean, they've seen – excellence as they should have these high expectations, but when you have teams around you who are also like, when you have 3 other playoff teams around you, I mean, plus the Jets who are going to be in that echelon, and you have Dolphins who made the playoffs last year, Bills won the division, and I mean, made the AFC championship last year. So I mean, when you AFC not championship but the yeah
won their division
divisional yeah,
yeah. Won their division.
Yeah, just when you have those teams around you getting better every year, it's kind of hard to expect perfection like that.
Yeah, definitely when they had Tom Brady, the rest of the division was not as good as it is now. The Patriots have arguably the worst roster in that division. The Jets, with Aaron Rodgers, have one of the better rosters in the NFL. The Dolphins have one of the better rosters in the NFL. The Bills have a very good roster, too. And I guess you would consider Mac Jones probably the 4th best quarterback in that division at the moment. So not great for the Patriots. But yeah, still, at the end of the day, they were, you know, on the brink of making the playoffs last year. Yeah. You know, it was like if they beat the Bills and the Dolphins lose, they could have been in the playoffs. So we shall see. They do have a better offense coordinator, bringing Bill O'Brien from Alabama to New England to reprise his role as the Patriots offensive coordinator. So best of luck to them. Now, quick segue. Outside of Bill Belichick, who are some of the top coaches on the hot seat? I'm going to go with Brandon Staley. You know, he's got one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. Didn't make the playoffs his first year. Got in and blew a massive lead to the Jaguars of all teams in the playoffs. Questionable time management, decision making, questionable fourth down and whether or not you go for it, decision making. I think definitely if you look across the NFL, the guy who's on, you know, sort of the hottest seat of them all should be Brandon Staley, because why are you going to waste such a talented team with one of the best quarterbacks that the Chargers are going to have in the head coach not doing a great job? So, Bennett, give me your top coach on the hot seat for this upcoming season real quick.
I think it's Kevin Stefanski with the Cleveland Browns. He came in 2020. He took over. He was the coach of the year. He's 26-24 in three seasons. They actually had a playoff victory. They haven't had one in so long, and they almost beat the Kansas City Chiefs that year as well. But then all of a sudden, they've gone downhill. They've kind of done Browns-type things. And so picking up Deshaun Watson, giving him that big contract, and when he came in, he didn't look so great, and Stefanski was calling the plays, and I think he's going to call the plays again this year. And I've noticed when the head coach is also the offensive play caller, I think they're on a tighter rope as well, because they're the ones making like play-by-play decisions almost. And so they're almost under a more critical eye when they're playing or when they're calling plays. So I keep an eye on Kevin Stefanski. Don't roll out Mike McCarthy with the Dallas Cowboys as well. I think there's a good relationship between Jerry Jones and Mike McCarthy. But you never know how impatient he's going to get over there and what they want to do with Dak Prescott. And well, I'll just keep an eye on McCarthy as well.
Yeah, and you mentioned play callers now being under a little more scrutiny. With Kellen Moore off to the Chargers, Mike McCarthy will call the plays for the Cowboys this year. So there is that added pressure of not only are you the head coach, but now you're also the guy calling the offensive plays. So potentially that could be sort of the tipping point there for the Joneses to let him go. All right, Nick, give me your head coaches that you think are on the hottest seat going into this season real quick.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Todd Bowles. And I think Todd Bowles is on the hot seat. He has not very been a good NFL coach. He's been pretty good. He's been a good coordinator. He's not fit for it. Some coaches are just better coordinators than they are head coaches, because you can only do so much as a coordinator. But they didn't even make – they barely made the playoffs last year with Tom Brady, and in his last season, or who knows whatever happens with him. But you had all these talented players, and you can't make – you can't be better than barely just winning the division over the NFC South, who could – they were just – nobody was good in that division, so you really had nobody. I mean, the Panthers were the closest team. They were a top five pick. So, yeah, I just think he's going to be on the hot seat, and they might be one of the worst teams in the league. So it's just crazy. They won the Super Bowl 3 years, and then, bang, you're bottom tier of the league. Laughingstock, back to the laughingstock of the league. And I think Dennis Allen is on the hot seat. Same deal as Bowles. He's not a good head coach at all. I mean, go back to the Raiders. He didn't do good at all. But the Raiders were not peak performance to win. But the Saints were win now last year, and they are a win now franchise. And if you don't win games, you're going to be in the hot seat. And just his decision making and some of the decisions that were made throughout the season were not very good. And I just think some coaches are just meant to be coordinators, and I guess we'll see with what he does this year, because this is really a make or break a year, because you have a quarterback. You actually have a quarterback now on the team who puts up top 15 quarterback numbers in the league, and you still got a top five defense. I mean, you got to win now when you're Dennis Allen and the rest of the division is rebuilding or just trying to still doesn't even have a quarterback.
Yeah. All right. Be sure to stick around when we come back from the break. We are going to preview the Alabama football schedule and give you our predictions for each game coming up.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
All right, welcome back to the student section. We are breaking down the Alabama football schedule, and it feels like we all have a different opinion of what is going to happen this year, so I guess that kind of works out for entertainment value. All right, September 2nd is the first game of the season for the Crimson Tide. They will take on Middle Tennessee State out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, I believe. So that's a win, right? Yeah, you guys agree?
Yeah, I've got a win there.
I don't see any 2007 Louisiana Monroe games happening in this game.
No, yeah, Nick Saban, pretty darn good when he plays at home, and also pretty darn good when it's the first game of the year. So
I think that this one you could stick us three at quarterback, and we'd be fine.
Just hand the ball off every
Now, time. Interesting thing to note, Middle Tennessee did play Miami last season and beat the crap out of them. Now, why is that important? Well, because Kevin Steele, our defensive coordinator this year, was the DC at Miami last year and pretty much let Tennessee score whenever they wanted. So hopefully he has learned his lesson and figured out this offense for Middle Tennessee State, and Alabama should be able to cruise on by. No worries. All right, September 9th at Tuscaloosa, Bryant-Denny Stadium. The Texas Longhorns and Steve Sarkisian roll into town. Bennett, win or loss?
I've got a win there, only because it's in Bryant-Denny. I think at that point, maybe the quarterback controversy or decision who's the starter might not be figured out yet. But I think because it's at home, because we're going to have home field advantage, I think we're going to win this one. We're going to probably be close first half, and then our talent and our size now, we're just going to run away with it towards the fourth quarter.
I don't know. I think we'll probably take a close. I think we'll take a close loss. But I think this game will be like it was. Go back to 2015. We played against Ole Miss, and we had a QB, controversy. Jay Coker versus Cooper Bateman, and Cooper Bateman gets his start because Jay Coker was sick, but I don't think it'll be another sick. And then Chad Kelly came out and just flamethrowered Alabama. And sometimes, you want to get your loss out early, but I don't know. I think that Texas will be much better this year. They bring back a lot of their players. You bring back your quarterback who got hurt against Alabama. So, and they still almost had a chance to – they still had the lead with the 2 minutes left. So I think Texas, it'll be close. I think we'll – I don't know. I think it's going to come down the wire. I think it could go either way, but I'm going to say it's a loss just because we don't know who's that quarterback yet.
I'm going to go a close win here. Like you mentioned, Steve Sarkisian definitely had a great game plan going into this matchup last season in Texas. Definitely Quinn Ewers was throwing the ball all over the place wherever he wanted against our defense, but I think Bama has kind of learned their lesson. I think being in Tuscaloosa is going to help out a lot. I have a feeling that that is going to be quite the difficult environment for the Longhorns. All right, the 16th of September, for whatever reason, I don't know, but Alabama will go to Tampa to play South Florida. Why are we going to South Florida to play? I don't know, but we are. So that'll be a win, right? Yeah.
It'll be a win. It'll be a dominating win. Bounce back if we lose. If not, if we don't lose, it'll still just be keep rolling. And hopefully by then the quarterback is handled, situation's handled. And it'll be cool to go play in. We'll be played in the Buccaneers Stadium, so that'll be cool to get. Last time we played there was a loss. So hopefully, it'll be cool to get more fans there in the Florida area to get a chance to go see Alabama play.
True.
Yeah, I agree. This is a win. I think even though it's an away game, I think just the talent mismatch is definitely in our favor. Yeah. And like you're saying, I think the quarterback decision will be settled by this game. Whoever wins us the Texas game, if it's a close one, I think that's the guy that's going to win the team over. That's what Coach Saban likes to say. And then at that point, they're just going to be gaining more and more confidence and more reps and game play by the time the South Florida game comes.
Yeah, interesting thing to note here, the offensive coordinator from Tennessee this past year, Alex Golich, is now the head coach at South Florida. So he's seen our defense, and boy, did he not have to worry about it at all, pretty much whatsoever.
Well, we also have a different defensive coach, so.
True.
I think a lot more, just last thing on South Florida, we'll have a lot more fans in them, so hopefully.
We shall see. The 23rd in Tuscaloosa, Ole Miss coming to town. No idea who's going to be the quarterback. We felt like Jackson Dart going into the season, but then Lane Kiffin goes and gets a couple of dudes out of the portal that could also start at that quarterback position for them as well. I'm going to go win here. Kiffin got close in 2020, but ever since then it hasn't necessarily been as close. Kind of close last year, but not as close.
Yeah.
So I got to win, Bennett.
Get your popcorn ready for this one. For real this time. I think this one's going to be probably one of the better games of our season. I think Coach Kiffin, I don't know, he, for some reason in my mind, prepares for the Alabama game pretty much the whole summer. I think late at night, he's sitting there game planning, oh, I'm going to call this one. Look at this trick play I'm going to run against Coach Saban's defense. He wants to beat us so bad. And for that reason, I think it's going to be pretty close. I think we will win this one. It will be a victory for the good guys. But I do think this is one of those that will probably be tight in Bryant-Denny.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Pete Golding will probably call one of his best games he's ever had, and I don't know. I think we'll win. I think it'll be like it was this past year. We'll come down the wire, and I think either that or we'll just blow them out like we did in 2021 against Ole Miss, which is a blowout from start to finish. But it'll be different to see, because Ole Miss will be. I think they'll be a lot better this year, but I think we'll bounce back. We'll just handle the business.
Yeah. All right. The 30th of September, the Crimson Tide will make the very short trip to Starkville, Mississippi. No Mike Leach. Obviously, his untimely passing. Zach Arnett, who was their DC, is now their head coach. That'll be an easy win. Mississippi State wasn't that difficult to beat when Mike Leach was there, and I feel like they took quite the step back in terms of the caliber of head coach.
And they don't have a quarterback.
Is Will Rogers not there anymore?
I think he graduated.
Really?
I think so. Because they got Mike Wright out of the portal from Vanderbilt.
Well, we shall see. I felt like Will Rogers was coming back, but who knows? Either way, that will be a win for Alabama. All right. October 7th, headed to College Station, where Alabama will take on the A&M Aggies. Bobby Petrino at offensive coordinator finally got somebody better than Jimbo Fisher to call their plays. One of the most talented rosters in the country. I think Alabama will take a loss here by maybe three, a close loss. College Station is one of the hardest places to play in all of collegiate athletics. So that will be certainly a very difficult place to play. Jimbo Fisher always calls his best games against Alabama, and now he's got a true offensive coordinator to help him out with his game planning for this year. Connor Wagman, good quarterback for them. So I do believe this will be a loss for Alabama. Bennett?
Oh, I don't think so. I think the Tide is going to roll this time in College Station. It's going to be one of those classics where – You know, you see the Tide roll up in the white jerseys. And at this point, I think Alabama is getting back to being Alabama. We're running the football downhill. Milroe or Ty Simpson, whoever the quarterback is, they're catching their stride. I think both coordinators are going to do a good job. And this team is just coming together at this point. And this is the game where we make this statement win. I think it's going to be it might be a 20-point win. I don't like hypotheticals, but I like Bama.
Yeah, I think we're going to lose this game. I don't know. It's just tough when you going in the – Jimbo's had our number the past couple of years, and it's tough. They're going to have a new quarterback. He looked good towards – Connor Wiegman looked good towards the year, and I just think it'll be the first tough road environment that either quarterback will see. And I don't know. Bryce Young couldn't even handle business, so I think – Texas A&M is going to be much better than they were last year, so I think the Aggies are going to win this game.
All right. October 4th, Alabama welcomes Arkansas to Tuscaloosa. I'm going to go a win here. Nick, you agree?
It's Arkansas? Yep. That's a win.
All right. Bennett?
Yeah, I agree. It's a win against Arkansas. One more thing for the A&M game. Coach Saban right now has 194 wins at Alabama. This is the sixth game of the season, so this could be his 200th win potentially if we win that one.
Hopefully that
works out.
That works out, or we win it at home.
All right, revenge game here against the Tennessee Volunteers, October 21st. I've got this one. A win for Alabama. Usually, Saban does not lose to the same team 2 years in a row. He likes to beat the crap out of them the following season. New quarterback, new offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Volunteers, so I get that one as a win. All right. LSU, November 4th. Bennett, it's at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Again, a revenge game. What you got?
Yeah, thank goodness it's in Bryant-Denny. Last year in Baton Rouge, it was a tough loss, but I think a home game, our fans are there, we get the win.
Yeah, I think we'll get the win on this one. Again, it's the same scenario. Saban doesn't lose to a team twice in a row.
No. Yeah. November 11th, we are headed to Lexington to play the Kentucky Wildcats. Mark Stoops usually does a pretty good job there. I like the quarterback that they got out of the transfer portal from North Carolina State.
Was a first-round pick before he got hurt.
Pretty much. Now they're bringing back Liam Cohen, who was the offensive coordinator for them 2 years ago when they had one of their best seasons. This will be an easy win, though, for Alabama because Kentucky's just not as good as Alabama in general. November 18th, Alabama plays Chattanooga. It's one of my favorite cities, but they're terrible.
That's a win.
So that'll be an easy win. Blowout, like you said, Nick, not any concern there. All right, November 25th, the Iron Bowl at Auburn. Really quickly, Nick, what you got?
I think it's going to be a toss-up game, just like it always is down there in that town that we don't want to say. But I don't know. I think we'll pull it out late. Hopefully, game-winning drive. I could see that happening.
Yeah, the good guys are winning this one, and Jordan-Hare, I think we get it done against our rivals.
Yeah.
All right, so I've got Alabama going 11-1 with the loss to A&M. Bennett, you've got them going 12-0 this year. All right, let's see if that happens.
Tied.
Hopefully it will. And then, Nick, you've got them going 10-2.
10-2 losses to two Texas teams.
Two Texas teams, right. Nick Saban struggling with the Texas teams. All right, that's been it for us here on the student section. Thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to tune in next week as we have got plenty more in the world of football to discuss. We will see you then.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.